It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. We're going to begin with the book of Joshua. We have spent some time in the 34th chapter of Deuteronomy, and now we're going to finally get to the book of Joshua. And so please that you, I hope that your opportunity is that you can read it along with me as we begin the study of the book of Joshua today. And while you're looking that up, I would like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that you'll take an opportunity to check the website or to write to us. I love hearing from you. We have many studies up on the website. Our Constitution is there. Let me know, because you can contact me through the website if you'd like to. And again, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org, and so please do so. I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, and we're going to prepare for the study. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all his people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the hosts, command the people, saying, Prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And we're going to end the reading there in verse 11. And let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come today and enjoy this study. It's such a wonderful time and a wonderful opportunity we have to come together. So please guide and lead us. And as we take a look at this precious book, the book of Joshua, we're going to begin to see something that most Christians never gain in this life. They do not take hold of the possessions, the blessings that God wants us to have here and now. They are waiting till the life that's after this one to take place after death, and they'll go on and be in the presence of the Lord, and they struggle and miss all of the peace and joy and strength that, dear Father, you want to give us. And so as we study this book of Joshua, help us to keep in mind that its present theme is possession, to possess it. And we need to do just that in possessing what you have given us. We need to take possession of it. And we're going to find the same thing, a wonderful example here in the book of Joshua. So please just open our eyes and our minds. Those that are lost, that do not know you as their Savior, bring them today to you, that salvation will come into their hearts and lives. And those that are saved, help us to grow and walk with you and enjoy your presence. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Joshua. It begins, as we have, in the time we were together, the last time we were together, we have enjoyed this precious book, the book of Joshua. And it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel." Now this word, as we come to the first line there of the second verse, if you are able to have your Bibles open, "Moses, my servant, is dead, and therefore arise." And I've replaced "now" with "and," because that's going to connect it together here. And so realize that probably the last chapter of Deuteronomy and the book of Joshua was written by Joshua. Now, if you disagree with that, that's okay. But it does appear here that Moses has died, and in the 34th chapter of Deuteronomy, it speaks of the death of Moses. Now, God could have told Moses ahead of time, but also Joshua was very capable of recording this, and he closed out the book of Deuteronomy, and then he begins the book of Joshua, because we find that it's with the direction of the Lord here very clearly. The first 12 chapters are going to be about the entering in to the land, taking possession of the land. And then the next section of scriptures is concerning the dividing of the land and those things. And so we're going to enjoy that. But again, keep in mind as we look through this book that the great theme that we're going to find here and going to look at here is the theme of possession. And we're going to look at how they need to come in and possess the land. They have been given this land. The promise was given to Abraham. And yet we know that it has been all this time, and let's look back here, because I believe it was back in the 12th chapter of Deuteronomy. We've made reference to this many times, but it helps us to take a look at the promises, and we're looking at a time period of about 700 years have passed since they were given the ownership of that land. And so it was given unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, and none of them was able to take possession of it, even though Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had lived in the land, and yet they really didn't own any land. The only land that they really owned was a parcel of land that he had bought for a burial ground. And so, but finally, we're coming and we're going to put the borders out, and we're going to see exactly what God intended to give to the nation of Israel. Keep in mind that he is the only one that can really give any of land to anybody. I own my house, I own some property, and in owning my house and my property, I really am just a tenant. Because God, the owner of it, the real owner of it, has not given it to me. I have purchased it from someone else who purchased it from someone else who purchased it from someone else. And as those have been handed down all these years, everyone giving its value so that you could own it and possess that part of a land. But the only land and the only people that were given any kind of promise is this land here in Palestine that we're looking at. And so we're looking here in the beginning here. We're seeing the Great Commission. We think of the Great Commission, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Start at home and work your way out. And so we're to give out the gospel of death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And those that accept are to be baptized and follow the Lord. But here we are having the commission that God is giving unto Joshua. And so now as that promise is given, and we're also going to see a command that is given unto Joshua. So let's now take a look at this. We find in the second verse, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Once again, we are to beginning to move forwards, and we're finding that we are looking at a promise that was given to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and again, it just continues to be handed down. That promise had never weakened. That promise had never gotten any smaller. That promise is true when God makes a promise, and that promise in this case is unconditional. You will own this land. That's the way it is. And it is the first time that God told Abraham about it. From that time forward into this day, the ownership of that land has not changed. Who possesses it, now that has changed, but not the owners. The owners of that land is the nation of Israel, the Jews. Whoever lives on it now, they're trespassing, because God has given this land to Israel. And you know, we have fighting going on continually. Great wars have been fought over there and will till the very end, because this world hates God. It hates the people of God, and that's the reason that Christians, true Christians, are hated and despised as well. It begins here, my servant is dead. Moses could not bring them into the land of promise. Well, you say that's true, because we have studied that he struck the rock the second time when he was supposed to speak to it. That's exactly right. But no matter what, Moses was not going to be able to cross that line, because you see, Moses represents the law, a law that cannot save. We cannot come to a place that we can possess the power and the presence of God, in this case possess the land, because Moses is the law. He represents the law, and the law is it shows us that we are sinners. So it is a revealer. It reveals to us who we are. The law is much like a mirror. And when you look into a mirror, you see all the flaws. You see the age spots. You see all the things that the time and life has given you. And you look into your eyes and around your eyes, you see those crow's feet, and I don't care how many surgeries you want to try to dismiss what aging does to you, you can't eliminate it, you can't get away from it. And so you see, it reveals, it shows us, just as a mirror will show us, the Word of God, the law of God, shows us that very thing, that we're a filthy, rotten sinner. And so it cannot save us. The law is not our Redeemer. It cannot save. You can try and work and work and work to live a right, righteous life, but you're going to fail. And when you fail, that it will show you, and you will fail, that the law, keeping the law, is not the Redeemer. It cannot save you. The problem is not with the law itself, you see. The law is perfect. And see, that's what we do today. We change the law so that it fits us better. But God never changes, and his law never changes. So when we look at that law, as we look into a mirror and we see all our failures and everything is exposed to us so well through God's law, then we need to recognize that we have to have a Savior, because the problem is not the law. The problem in this case is Moses. The problem in our case is not the law of God. The problem is you and me. That's the problem. And we need to recognize that, and we need to accept that, that the problem is not the law. The law is perfect. But because the law is perfect, when you bring you or me or Moses into the equation, it doesn't add up, because we can't equal what the law demands. We can't do that. And so we find the first words, and it's twice here in chapter 1, verse 1 says, after the death of Moses, and then in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over the Jordan. You see, the possession couldn't take place until we find the Savior. Now, we know the word Joshua, and we have looked at that, and how that the name Joshua, Jesus, and Joshua, Savior, what a wonderful connection that we have here. And so the only one that can bring us into a place to possess the land, to possess the promises, somebody has to save us. The law cannot do it. Jesus, our Savior, our Joshua, you could say, can lead us into the place of blessings. Can't get there any other way. Many a person that's never been born again, that's never come to the cross of Calvary and trusted in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they believe it in their mind, but they've never accepted it. It's not a personal relationship that they have with the Lord Jesus. If you lack that personal relationship, then you don't know Jesus at all. And if you don't know Jesus, you don't know God the Father. And yet, you probably many times have said, God has done this. I have prayed to God, and God has done that for me. Well, my friend, it's not true. Because he's done nothing for you other than one of the most important things, and that is that sending his Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross for you, that you will accept him as your Savior. So please, please, that you trust in Jesus today. Accept him as your Savior. Go to that cross where he offered his life, gave his life, died for you, and wonderfully rose again 3 days later. Please accept that and invite him into your heart. It is a decision you make. It's not something that evolves. It's not something that happens because your parents did it. It's something you have to do, every individual. It's up to you, and you need to trust in him. These Israelites, they now have one that can lead them into the land to take possession. Moses couldn't. Moses is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I give to thee, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. What a wonderful promise. And this is about to take place now. Israel owns the land. And the contract that God has made with the nation of Israel is unconditional. You say, well, Larry, they were out of the land from the year 70 until the year 1948. So they were out of the land almost 1,900 years. They did not own nor possess this land. That's correct. They did not possess it, but they did own it. They've had trespassers, call them squatters, call whatever you want to call them, people that are in the land right now do not own the land and have no rights to it. They have fought for a right to live there, and there's been battles since almost the beginning of time, it would seem, over this land, and it sure has been ever since Jerusalem and the nation of Israel took their proper place And we're looking at that right now here, and that's about 1,450 years before the birth of Christ. And so we're looking at about 3,400 years ago from the time right now that God finally is about to lead his people in. But Moses stands for the law. The law cannot give us this joy. The law, it will only beat you down and defeat you. It has to be by God's grace. God's grace has given them this land. And now they are about for the first time to take possession of this land. They own it. They have owned it all along. They have owned it from this time forward, and really back when Abraham received the promise is when they took the ownership. But here, for the first time, they're going to go take possession of it. Now, they could have taken possession of it 38 years earlier. But remember, they didn't trust the Lord. They didn't trust him. So they lost the opportunity of the blessings of that land for 38 years. How would you have liked if your father decided to say, nope, the giants are too big, the cities are walled, there's no way that we can take this land. I'm not going to trust God because God said we can take it. I'm not going to trust him, and so we're not going in. How would you like to have been just born, and you had to live 38 years in the wilderness because of a decision that your father made? Well, today, many fathers make the same decision. And if you're listening, Dad, and your children are small, please, please choose Jesus today, because your children need not to be in the wilderness for 38 years and maybe the rest of your life, and maybe because of your leadership, they will never find the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, well, that's up to them. No, it isn't. It's up to you. You to bring them into the house of God. And don't send them. Don't send your wife with them, their mother. You come. And you bring those children into the house of God, and you show them that Jesus is real. I hope you know Jesus as your Savior, Dad. This is quite a time here. I'm going to show you that even though they're about to possess the land, and this isn't my figure, this is someone else's figures, but they were promised an area of land, and we read that here in verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coasts. Now, someone has figured that out, that that's 300,000 square miles. Do you want to make a guess on what they possessed at their greatest time? And that was under the reign of Solomon. At the greatest time, how much land that they possessed? It was thought that they possessed 30,000 square miles. They had offered to them, God gave them 300,000 miles, square miles, is what was given to them as their ownership. They own it. They have always owned it. But they only possessed 10%. About 10% of that land is all they ever possessed. Isn't that sad? Well, it's no different than you and me. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you have not trusted in the promises of God, you don't study his word, you don't enjoy fellowship with believers, you kind of come and go as you please, you're missing the blessings. And you're probably not even getting 10% of the blessings. You have not even gotten 10% of the possessions that God wants to give you here and now. Now, that's not necessarily a possession of wealth or of land or of material gain, but it is tremendous blessings that God wants to give you, spiritual blessings from heavenly places. So we need to trust in that. This, as we look through these verses of Scripture, again, Israel owns the land today. It was 1948 before they even took a tiny, tiny speck of this land and called it their home. And the first time, that was the first time in 1948 since the year 70 That's how long that they were taken totally out of the land. There has not been a place to worship for them, and they have rejected. God has set them aside. They have been set aside. They were disobedient. They have lost their possession, but they have not lost their ownership. They have always owned the land and do today. And so when you see the fighting going on, and you says, boy, what's Israel doing? They're trying to defeat an enemy on one side or the other. Well, they're defeating someone that's trespassing. If someone was trespassing on your property and they moved next door to you, started building a house, you go over and say, why are you building that house? And he says, well, because we want to. And he says, no, I own this land. And they says, well, I don't care. I'm going to tell you that I own it. And you see, the problem comes is between Israel and the Arabs. The problem is that they're looking because their father is Abraham too. But the promise didn't go through Hagar and Ishmael. The promise went through Isaac and Jacob. The promise continued through Isaac and Jacob. So when they claim that they have ownership of the land, they don't. Israel does. The Jews. And so when they're fighting for something, they're fighting what is rightfully theirs. And if someone moved in next door to you, wouldn't you fight for what was yours? Yes, you would. You wouldn't let them come in and take something that you know that you possessed it. And again, at the best time, they only possessed 30,000 square miles. And you look at how tiny they are today in relationship to what they were during Solomon's time. There's no comparison. They're probably a tenth of that. They're probably, I don't know what they are now, probably 3,000 square miles. It's not much. So tiny. So tiny. We come down and we look at these verses of Scripture, and we find that Joshua is going to be encouraged by the Lord. He's going to be strengthened there. And as we look now in verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swore unto their fathers to give them. They're about to take possession. Only be strong and of very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. That word prosper and that the word possession is sure hand in hand. We're going to possess the land, and you're going to get the blessings from it. What a wonderful day. Verse 8 here says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. It wasn't that Joshua was just given a supernatural power to understand the Word of God. But in order for him to keep it right in his mind and his heart, and to have the power that he needed in order to lead the people to this possession that is theirs, he is to meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful promise. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What a precious promise. And we'll pick up on some of those verses next time we get together. But my dear friend, it's so wonderful to look at the promises. Please, please come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may take possession of what God wants you to have here and now. It's not that we have to wait for an inheritance that's to come after this life. We have such tremendous blessings now. The Israelites many of them never saw this promise because they didn't come. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?